first speaker, Terry.
How's everyone doing? My name is Terry, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to open up by saying my name is Terry Gay, and I'm an alcoholic. The reason why I say that is having the last name Gay and being an openly gay man, like when I was younger, I never really felt a part of, and I in my community as well as just, you know, I was like a weird kid, you know, the oddball. So, I was picked on a lot when I was younger for having the last name Gay, and I didn't come to find out until later on what Gay actually meant and what that looked like for me. So I came out when I was 16. Like I said, I felt like the oddball, so I was, you know, always looking for a way to get outside of myself. I started drinking when I was about 17, and it was that aha moment, you know, like most of us have, where I forgot everything, you know, like I forgot what I was mad about, I forgot what other people thought about me, I didn't care, you know. I started going out to the bars and stuff when I was 17, and it was just like I had arrived, you know. I found my people then. Going into a gay bar at 17 without the beard, so it was, you know, like I fit in then, you know, and it was just like here I am, and I did that for so long. I'll be 35 in like 8 days, or 36 in 8 days. I didn't get sober till I was 34. I've been in and out trying to get sober. I didn't really know what that looked like, you know, because I come from a long line of alcoholics. You know, like I have some mental health issues. So like when I was, before I was diagnosed with like bipolar, I was always, I would use alcohol as an out. So I would just like, you know, I'm in a manic episode. So, you know, let's just keep it going with this alcohol and keep it rolling. And that was, you know, like there was no self-care. I didn't value my own self. You know, there was some suicide attempts when I was trying to come into my own. Like I said, I came out when I was 16. My family, we're from Panama City originally. My mom and dad divorced, so they moved to, my mom moved to Kentucky. And that side of the family was really accepting of, you know, my sexuality when I came out. My Florida side of the family, that's just like, you know, an abomination to them. That's not something they can get behind or support. So I always, like, you know, when I went to Florida, it was a hush-hush, so I drank, you know, like I'd go out to the bar and stuff. That's where I was able to be myself. And it was, you know, just a great way to be Terry, you know. So later on, when I, you know, as I got older, I found my ways into the room with a couple of friends, because they were, you know, they had a problem, I didn't. And it was like, you know, I'm blacking out, getting DUIs and stuff, but they had the problem, not me. So I would go to AA meetings with them, and I would sit in the back of the room and just not paying attention to them. And then I would, you know, end up leaving with them, and I'd go get drunk that night. And they would, you know, like, try to get me to stay with them or, you know, hang out with them. And I'm just like, no, I don't have a problem. So when I turned 34, I had some consequences. I went to jail for 6 months, got out, relapsed, went back to jail. And then this time, I don't know, something was different in my head. Like someone had mentioned AA while I was in jail the last time, and I started going to meetings while I was incarcerated. And I was like, okay, I can buy what you're selling, you know? And so I started going like regularly while I was in there. And as soon as I got out, I did the same thing for about a month. And then I relapsed again. And I was just, I don't know, I was at, you know, my wit's end. So I went to treatment for about a month. And I ended up in Northern Kentucky. Had never been there before. I went in there and, you know, I started taking some suggestions. And, you know, I'm really glad. This is like the longest stint of sobriety I've ever had since I was 16. I mean, and I'm just coming up on 2 years. But 2 years, my life has totally freaking changed, you know. Like, I have, I lost my grandfather the first year I was sober, and I recently buried my mother 2 weeks ago from a freak accident. And the thing about it is, like, I got to stay sober. The people that are here with me now showed up for me the day of that, you know, like we were going to have to pull my mom off life support. They stayed with me for a week after that, so I didn't go back out, you know. I never had that with friends that I had when I was using alcohol, you know. It was how I could use them and how could they use me. My friend now don't want anything from me. They just want me to be happy and they want me to stay sober and be a part of my community, show up, you know, when I can. You know, like my sponsor, she came to my home, to my mother's home in Georgetown, and it was just really weird because my sponsor is in the leather and kink community, and she's really super fabulous. But she shows up to my house, and we're like sitting. My mom had a real, you know, dry sense of humor, or sick sense of humor, and we're sitting inside, and my mom's living room has all these horses and stuff in it, and she was talking about like riding a horse, like it's a rocking horse that was in my mom's living room, and she was like, "I would like to have a ball gag in my mouth," and this is like the day after my mom's funeral, and I was just like, "This is awesome," you know what I'm saying? I was able to laugh and have a good time, and I was like, "I needed that," you know. And they get to show up for me. And, you know, I can't wait to return the favor to them. A friend of mine that's in the room, she lost her dad right before I lost my grandfather. And the thing about it was, it's like we showed up for each other. And I went to a meeting and I cried the whole entire meeting. And I'm talking about like ugly snot and tear, you know. And no one cared. No one told me I had to leave because I was a hot mess. And I've been asked to leave a lot of places, you know, usually by the police. In the cop car. So, you know, for someone to be okay with me being a train wreck was amazing. And, you know, like the friendships and the bonds that I've built over the last 2 years is insane, you know. I've gotten so many things back. I've had my own place and lost it, had my own place, lost it, you know, that kind of stuff, and it's just materialistic. But to have your own place now, to have your own vehicle, I don't have a college degree because I dropped out, but I'm on salary at my job. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the promises that I see today. And it doesn't mean that, you know, any of that stuff can be taken away from me, you know, at any time. But I feel like as long as I stay right in the middle of AA, that's one of the things that keeps me here. I had the blessing of being on the host committee for Kiki Paul last year. And, you know, we got to host a conference in Kentucky. It was insane. In the last 2 years, I've been to 19 WIPAW events all over the country. This is the farthest west I've ever been. Super nice here. Dry, hot, but you know, I'm like, we tried to go on a hike yesterday and I thought I was going to die, literally. I mean, it's beautiful, you know what I'm saying? But I get to see those things today because of I'm sober, you know? I get to show up for my experiences. And like after we hosted, they voted me to be on advisory for Kiki Paul. And I'm just like, y'all motherfucker know how messed up I am? Like, for real, y'all want me to do this? And, you know, it's amazing. I get to share my experience, strength, and hope with someone else who have been in the same situation that I've been in. And for that, I'm forever grateful. That's all I have.